If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 4. I hope, Dad, you have a great day today. You know, being a dad is hard work, but it can be trying at times. It can be sure enjoyable at other times. And I'm sure my kids were smiling during that whole episode going, yeah, that would be an interesting day or week at our house if I would say those things that way, right? Let's pray. God, thank you for today that we get to come and celebrate as the greatest father of all, you. You show us how to sacrifice, how to lay down our lives. Lord, may you find the men in this room and the men around the world who claim you as Lord be reminded to sacrifice themselves for your kingdom and your kingdom's cause, so that we can be an influence to those around us and we can be focused on the most important person in our life, and that is you. God, we thank you for today that you have called us together to gather here today in this place to open your word, to be encouraged, to be challenged, and most importantly, to be reminded of what that sacrifice looked like with your broken body and your shed blood. And we give thanks. And all the dads said, amen. Hey, Colossians chapter 4, we're going to be there starting with verse 2, not verse 1, in just a little bit. But I heard a story the other day of a man who encountered a bit of trouble while he was up in an airplane. He was flying this little plane, and he radioed the tower, and he said, pilot to tower, I'm 300 miles from the airport. I'm only 600 feet off of the ground, and I'm out of fuel and descending rapidly. Please advise. Tower to pilot, the dispatcher began, repeat after me, our Father who art in heaven, right? We're talking about prayer this morning, and we're talking about this idea in our series of arrested development. We as Christians, sometimes we have our development arrested, or we allow ourselves to be arrested in our development, growth to spiritual maturity. And one of the things that we talked about last week was opening God's Word. It is the very food that will nourish us, and God has set the table for us. And all we have to do is open it up. We have to read it and devour it, and it will fill us with the nutrients, the things that we need to live our lives on fire for God, to have the spiritual fuel that we need. So we need to dig into His Word. Another area in our life, though, is we need to make sure that we are praying the way that we're supposed to pray. And in Colossians chapter 4, Paul is going to tell us and give us an insight to what prayer should look like in our lives. See, Paul is somebody who understood the power of prayer. It was part of his life. He wanted to connect with God, and he saw it as vitally important to connect through talking and communication. You know, you can't be a really good Christian unless you're willing to pray. Just like you can't be a good husband or a good wife if you're not willing to communicate and talk together. F.B. Meyer said this, "The great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but it's unoffered prayer." The great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, it's unoffered prayer. It's not going to our Lord and Savior, it's not going to the most powerful person in the world, in our lives, and talking to Him and seeking His counsel and His direction and His guidance. You know, prayer should be something that we do every day. I mean, every one of us breathes in and out. It's unconscious. It's just something that we do. And as Christians, that should be part of our DNA, that we wake up wanting to talk to God and talking to Him throughout the day, walking with Him in and out of our lives. But sometimes I think we're like a little red box on a wall in this building, and you can find them here, and you can find them at the school. All we think about of prayer is, it's only, I need to break the glass in the emergency section of the school. And when I break the glass, that's when I pray, because there's emergencies that are going on in our life. That's the most times when we pray, when something tragic is happening and something's going on. But we're to pray without ceasing in good times and bad, to seek God out. See, prayer is like the pipeline of communication between God and His people, between God and those who love Him. So what do we learn from Scripture? We learn that we should pray with persistence. Paul begins by saying this in verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer. In the original language, it says, continue steadfastly in prayer. And the word translated, continue steadfastly, means persistent in, going after, it's attaining to, it's adhering firmly to. It carries with the idea of dedication. Of the 10 times it's used in the New Testament, 4 of them have to do with being devoted to prayer. And as Christians, I don't know how devoted we are to really seeking God out and praying. Many times we don't think that we can pray, or we don't know how to pray. And I, you know, being a youth pastor and being a pastor of adults, you ask questions in small groups. Hey, would you be willing to pray? No, I don't. Because we're scared of what other people are going to think about us. And instead of just saying, you know what, I'm ready to talk to God at any time when I need to talk to God. So yeah, I'm willing to pray. Are we devoted to it? Are we worried about the world around us and what they're going to think if we say something amiss? Persistence in prayer is not an option. It's an order from the Lord Himself. 2 of the most instructive parables that Jesus ever told on prayer are found in Luke 18 and Luke 11. Luke 18, 1 says, now He was telling them a parable to show them at the times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. Luke 11, 9 says, it is where we find the promise that says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. That speaks of persistence, doesn't it? It means going after. It's attaining to. It is running to the throne room of God, talking to your Father in heaven. Each of those verbs are in the present tense. It's in the active voice. It could be translated, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. See, there's a difference between persistent prayer and just a long-winded prayer of nothingness. Persistence means you're not giving up. You keep going back over and over. But often we give up. Why? If I asked you that question personally, just we're sitting down and having a conversation, why do you give up on prayer? Why don't we devote ourselves to seeking God out and going back over and over again? I think the answer is because we didn't get our prayer answered the last time the way that we wanted to. God didn't show up like I thought He was going to show up. It didn't hit me. It didn't, you know, I didn't feel God's presence. I didn't feel Him connect with me. See, some of us, we give up way too easy. We quit because we don't feel like praying. The joy is gone. I don't feel joy in talking to God. I don't feel joy in reading God's Word. We could bring that in from last week. But we're not to live by our feelings. And too many times we live by our feelings instead of being committed to going back over and over, knowing that God is with us. He's for us. He's not against us. He wants the best for us. He is going to be there to help us work through the difficulties of life, and He's going to encourage us. George Mueller had this to say about persistence in prayer. It is a common temptation of Satan to make us give up the reading of the Word and prayer when our enjoyment is gone, as if it were of no use to read the Scriptures when we do not enjoy them, and as if it were no use to pray when we have no spirit of prayer. The truth is that in order to enjoy the Word, we ought to continue reading it, and the way to obtain a spirit of prayer is to continue praying. The less we read the Word of God, the less we desire to read it. And the less we pray, the less we desire to pray. And I can tell you this morning, when you pray and you're praying after God's will and His direction, I guarantee you it pays off. It might not pay off in the way that you've envisioned it paying off, but it does pay off when you see God's hand at work and Him doing His work, and you can join Him in what He's doing. I've told our elders at times, you know, there's times when I get sidetracked and I get off base, like we all do, and I don't pray about the things I need to pray about. I'm not praying for His will and His kingdom in certain areas, but when I start praying, God, I know there's people that You want us to connect with, You want us to minister to. God, bring those people so I can see You at work, because I want to see and be a part of what You're doing, God. And when God does that, when I pray that, God shows up, I guarantee you. I've seen it happen in my life over and over again. When I'm connected with what He wants and what His desires are, and I pray that, I see God at work in my world, at work in our church, at work in somebody else and in their life. See, the thing is, we got to pray with passion. And our passion can't be after our things that we want all the time. It needs to be praying passionate prayers and facing what God has called us to do. Sacrifice ourselves and our wants and desires for His, because His are greater, and there's greater blessing in following God and seeing Him at work. Paul begins by saying, devote yourself to prayer, right? Be devoted to it. Go after it. Seek it out. And pray with passion, with persistence. Jesus was passionate about His prayer life. I mean, if we're to become like Jesus, if that's what we're supposed to do, we're supposed to look like Jesus. The more and more we grow in our spiritual maturity, we will want to talk to God more and more. And when we do that, we should expect God to show up. We should expect to encounter Him and His presence in our lives. S.D. Gordon, in his book, Quiet Talks, says this: how much prayer meant to Jesus is really important for us to examine. It was not only His regular habit, but He resorted to it in every emergency, however slight or serious. When perplexed, He prayed. When hard-pressed by work, He prayed. When hungry for fellowship, He found it in prayer with His Father. When He didn't have it with maybe His disciples or others, He found it in His Heavenly Father. He chose His associates, the disciples, by getting on His knees and praying. If tempted, He prayed. If criticized, He prayed. If fatigued in body or wearied in spirit, prayer brought Him unmeasured power to overcome all the difficulties that He faced. See, every time we see Jesus praying, He was praying with passion. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21, He was praying at His baptism, and when He prayed, the heaven was opened. See, passionate prayer opens heaven. Luke 6, 12, before He called His disciples, He spent a whole night on His knees praying, seeking the Father. He was devoted to that relationship. See, passionate prayer gives direction. Luke 9:29, at His transfiguration, He was transformed because His passionate prayer enables Him and you and me to experience God's presence. In John 17, His high priestly prayer, passionate prayer impacts the lives of others. He was interceding. He was praying like Randy prayed this morning, or the scripture outlined this morning what Jesus was after. Protect my disciples. Protect these guys. God, I want You to watch over them. He was interceding. In Luke 23, 24, as He hung on the cross, He prayed passionately for us to maintain our spirit. See, Jesus was always praying with passion because he knew who he was talking to. Sometimes I think we forget who we're talking to because we don't see God show up in the miraculous, mighty ways that we want to see him show up. But we forget who we're talking to, the creator of the universe who spoke everything that we experience into existence by just his word. We got a God who is amazing, who does amazing things, but we have to have our eyes open to what he's doing. We also need to pray with thankfulness. Paul never fails to mention it. Ephesians 5:20 tells us that thanksgiving is the natural result of being filled with and walking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. If you want to be filled with and walking under the influence of the Holy Spirit, then if you want to feel the Holy Spirit, you want to connect with God, then you need to be praying diligently for about what God wants, about his direction for your life, seeking him out, wanting to see God show up in your life, in the lives of others, and the friends who are lost, and bringing them into a relationship with him. See, expressing gratitude does several things. It articulates dependence. It demonstrates relationship. It communicates gratitude and proper attitudes. And it generates humility. Fourth this morning, prayer is interceding for others. Intercessory prayer is basically praying for others. It's praying for God's will to be done in their lives and the lives of other people. Luke 22:23, Jesus tells Peter, "I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail." Intercession. Luke 23:34, on the cross, Jesus was praying for others when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus was praying in that very moment. He wasn't saying, "Please release me from this, God. Get me out of here. I can't stand this anymore." No, he was praying, "Father, forgive them." In the midst of his dying breath, he prayed passionately for those who had put him on the cross and for all of us who sin. John 17:19, he prayed for us, the church, in his high priestly prayer. This is what he says, "I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom thou hast given me." He didn't pray worldly prayers for them to be comforted, for them to have an easy life. Understanding the power of prayer, Paul wanted to be sure the Colossians Christians understood what it was that they were to pray for. He wanted them to pray with a specific purpose. Now, here's where we dig into our scripture. So if you have your Bibles, make sure you pay attention to Paul and what he is praying at this time. "And I pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in" what? He's in chains. He's in jail. And what is he praying? "That I may preach boldly the news of Christ and him crucified and resurrected so that somebody can be saved. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Let your lips be seasoned with salt, flavorful, full of passion and vigor for good things. Because we all know what salt does. It gives flavor to the food that's on our plate. It brings it out. It makes it burst. And the passionate praying person, like Paul was, wanted his words to be seasoned with salt so he could bring people into the kingdom instead of being bickering and negative about his situation. He wanted them to pray for him, to ask God to open doors, to speak the gospel. It was the gospel that Paul lived for. We need to be creatures who are living for the gospel. We need to be God's sons and daughters who are living for the gospel because it brings life. It was the preaching of the gospel that was on his mind. You see what Paul wanted? He wanted the kingdom to expand. Do you want the kingdom to expand? Are we praying like Paul prayed for the kingdom to expand, to use us in a mighty way, to open doors for us to share the good news, to bring somebody to the point of salvation where maybe we can, like Isaac this morning, baptize somebody into the kingdom? Next week, I want you to know there's going to be another baptism. And it's not Isaac or it's not myself that's going to do the baptism. It's a grandfather who is an example of an elder, a pastor, a shepherd who loves God, and you see it in them. This sweet person has a sweet disposition about himself, but you can tell he loves God. And because of his influence on his family and his grandson asked him, "Would you be willing to baptize me?" Paul, what he prayed for was for God's will to be done, for doors to open, to preach the good news. It wasn't about his situation. It wasn't, "Please get me out of these chains. Let me out so I can be more comfortable." It was, "Hey, I'm in here for a reason and a purpose, and I know that God's purpose is for all people to be saved, and I'm ready to preach it wherever. Pray for the boldness in my words to be seasoned with salt." See, Paul wanted their prayers to be in accordance with God's will, not simply after greedy desires. And let me ask you this morning, how many of our prayers are directed toward that expression about his eternal kingdom rather than our petty kingdoms? I would say probably not very much. We're always more concerned about what we want rather than what God wants. If you were able to chronicle your prayers, knowing how much time you spent praying for your family, health, well-being of your loved ones, compared to praying for the lost who are headed to hell, what is the percentage in your life? See, intercessory prayer changes the focus. We stand in the gap for people. Pastor Howard Hendricks was having trouble finding a teacher for a junior high boys class, and there was a list of prospects, and there was only one person's name that came up on the list that was circled by the people he was consulting. And as he looked at the list, he's like, "We're in trouble. There is no way." But relented, and this young man began to teach the junior high class. And what he did is he revolutionized the junior high class, and more people started coming, and things started changing. And the pastor was blown away because when he saw this guy, he didn't see this happening. And so he invited him over for dinner. And as he invited him over and they were talking around the meal, he says, "Man, you've done such an amazing work. What in the world have you done to change the direction of some of these kids in the class and what's going on?" And the young man had with him this little black book, and he pulled it out and he handed it to him. And in the pages of the little black book were a little picture of each one of the boys in there that were in this junior high boys class. And he had little captions underneath. "This one's struggling with arithmetic." Not a big deal, right, in the spiritual sense. But he was praying for that young man. And then another one that had this struggle. And under each one, there was all these different notes because he knew these kids and he was intimate with them. And what he was doing, it was his prayer journal. And he began to pray for each one of those kids in there. And that's what revolutionized his class, is he took a deeper concern. He was interceding for them. He was praying to God for them. He was loving them from a distance by talking to the Heavenly Father who can reshape and transform their lives. It wasn't him that was doing it, but he was interceding. He was going to the one who was the most powerful to influence them. And God was showing up in that junior high class. See, he was praying those prayers every day for those kids. When we pray for others, When you pray for God's work to be done, for His kingdom to be established and His will to be accomplished, He will begin to use you and to grow you in ways that will astonish not only yourself, but those around you. And sometimes I think we don't become what God wants us to become because we're too focused on ourselves and not on others. It's when we pray for others that we will become more like Jesus. I want you to hear that this morning. When we put ourselves to the side and we start to pray for others, we become more like Jesus. Because if you look at Jesus, what did He do? He stepped out of eternity. He stepped out of heaven because He thought of you. And I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Him. I do a lousy job. I hope you could admit that too. I do a lousy job of being like Jesus. But I want to. My heart is right there wanting to be like Jesus. That's when I'm going to encounter Him in my life. When I humble myself, when I seek His kingdom and His purpose, He will show up. You know what prayer does? It internalizes the burden. It deepens the ownership. It internalizes it. It focuses you on the burden and the partnership that you need to have with God. As we pray, we begin to become aware of how God might use us to answer a prayer. How He might involve us in ways we had not foreseen. Prayer focuses us to wait. Hold on. It's not about you. Let God show up and show you what He's doing. And for us to continue to seek His face. That's what prayer does. It focuses on what God wants and His outcome and not ours. Prayer opens our spiritual eyes. It enables us to get in touch with what God is doing and how He's doing it. In 2 Kings chapter 6, the servant of Elisha goes out of the little dwelling he's living in, and he goes out and he sees that they're surrounded by this mass army that's coming in because they want to get rid of Elisha because he's prophesying against them. And he goes back in, he tells him, and he's freaked out. He said, "We're going to die. We are surrounded. There is no way out." And Elisha, he stops and he says, "Lord, I pray that You would open my servant's eyes, because those that are with us are more." The next time he goes out, the servant's eyes are opened and he sees a mass army of angels surrounding the other army. They weren't alone. We don't have to do this alone. Our eyes can be opened. Prayer opens the spiritual eyes to see what God is doing. It aligns our heart with what God's heart is all about. There's adjustments that we need to make, alignment that needs to take place in setting our thoughts and our emotions and our actions on what God's heart is all about. Finally, prayer enables us to move forward. Prayer engages God, enables God's people, and enlarges His kingdom. What does your prayer life look like this morning? Are you persistent in prayer? Are your prayers passionate? Are they punctual? Just quick and to the point because I've got things to do. But are they passionate seeking God over and over again? Are they filled with intensity and fervor? Or are they weak and timid and lacking faith? What about gratitude? How grateful are you for what God has done? How much time have you spent thanking God for all He has done in your life and for you and what He has given you? And who are you praying for? Is there someone in your life that you're praying for? Are you praying for them to find Jesus, find salvation, be saved and turn their life over to Him? Is there a burden to see God's kingdom expand, to see His will be done? What are you praying for? What is your prayer life about? And when we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who has overcome sin and death, and we spend some time on our knees, or as a sister told me this morning, walking around talking to God at any moment during the day because I need to connect with the most powerful person in my life. He has a way of transforming what we're thinking and how we're viewing each and every situation. I want to challenge you this week. Get a little passionate about what God's passionate about. He was passionate about you. He stepped down out of eternity to come after each and every one of us. He gave up His life for you. And what He asked in return is, would you give your life up for me and what I've got and the blessings that's right here that you can hold on to? You can be a part of my kingdom in my name. And I will give you the power to persevere through my Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we give thanks. We praise Your name today because You have saved us, not for our own purposes, but for Yours. And Your purpose is that each and every person that would come, that would in this world would come to the knowledge of who You are. You're the Savior. You're the Savior of the world. I pray that You would challenge us to seek You out as I'm praying to You now, Lord. I know that You are the most powerful person I can talk to. You're the one who gives clear directions. You give us Your word to chew on and to digest and to become spiritual food for us, to govern our lives, to give us direction and purpose and understanding. And You tell us that You want to have a relationship with us, each and every person in this room, individually. And You call us to go and make disciples, to encourage people to find, follow, and serve You. Lord, we give thanks because of what You've done on the cross, paid for our punishment, but most importantly, because You rose from the dead. And it gives us courage. And it gives us somebody to talk to in the good times and the bad for all time because You're our Lord and Savior. Help us to be passionate about talking to You because You're passionate about loving us. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.